How's it going, everybody? Welcome to the Power for Living podcast series brought to you by Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. Kick back, relax for the next 20 to 25 minutes, and let's begin.
Today we're going to talk about the Old Testament passage, which is Isaiah chapter 40, verses 27 through 31. And again, you have the handout in your bulletin. As we've started out our 21-day fasting journey together, seeking fresh guidance and direction from the Lord, it's appropriate to think of the things that the Lord does for His people, those who love Him and hunger and thirst for more of Him. And this passage in Isaiah covers a number of those blessings that God has for those who are willing to fully commit themselves to the Lord and take the time to worship with His people on Sunday, to come to the prayer meetings, and to do other things that indicate a hunger and a thirst for more of God. Well, there's many things we need to remember, but one of them is that with God, there is always hope. It's a necessary emotion we have, and that's what this passage talks about. German psychiatrist Viktor Frankl was a prisoner in a Nazi concentration camp during World War II. He endured horrible conditions and unspeakable cruelty from the Nazis. And after the war, he wrote his classic, Man's Search for Meaning. And in that book, he talked about and said that those who know how close the connection between the state of mind of a man, his courage, hope, or lack of them, and the state of immunity of his body will understand that the sudden loss of hope and courage can have a deadly effect. People who give up and who decide there is no hope. Viktor Frankl wrote of an instance where he saw some of his fellow inmates just give up one day. There's no hope. I'm stuck here. I'm going to die here. And what would inevitably happen is they would lay down on their beds and just fade away. Their organs would shut down because their mind had lost hope. They had no hope. They gave up and surrendered to the inevitable. And so what we need to remember is that hope is not just a nice feeling where we say, I'm just so hopeful. Hope is a real, concrete state of being and mind where if you have hope, you can look forward to something in the future. When you have something to look forward to, if you have some object that says, I know somehow it's going to work out, that strengthens us and allows us to continue to endure this path of life that frequently, to use a baseball illustration, throws us a lot of curves and change-ups that we can't deal with. And we may swing, and as the baseball announcer may say, swing and a miss. But if there's hope, you stay there and you keep trying. And that's what this passage is about. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And the first thing is, Isaiah wrote is a pre-exilic prophet. That's important to know here. He wrote and he received his words from the Lord probably 150 years before the Babylonians captured Jerusalem and took the people into exile. His ministry was during the time of Uzziah. We read that in Isaiah chapter 6, in the year that King Uzziah died. Uzziah was about two or three kings before the end. But he's writing here to the Jews as if they were already in exile. We know this because he's talking to them as if they've lost hope because of the exile. One of the psalms written during the time the Jews were in exile in Babylon is the beautifully poetic Psalm 137, which goes like this. By the waters of Babylon, there we sat down and wept. When we remembered Zion, on the willows there we hung up our lyres. For there our captors required of us songs and our tormentors mirth, saying, sing us one of your songs of Zion. But how shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? The people of Israel in Babylon had given up hope, many of them. And Isaiah was writing to them 150 years before or so. Because that psalm says they sat down and wept because the Babylonians were taunting them in their exile. They actually began to lose hope, and over 100 years before this, God gave Isaiah this message to preach to the nation of Judah. But he says, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? The Israelites would come to believe they were no longer in God's sight. While they were in exile, they would believe that God had forsaken them. And this is even in spite of the fact that Jeremiah, immediately prior to the exile, wrote in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and give you hope for the future. Jeremiah wrote that to the people of Israel right as they were beginning to be invaded by the Babylonians. God was still telling his people, even if you go into exile, don't lose hope. I am with you. I have a plan for you. I have a plan for you to give you hope in the future, plans to give you, to prosper you. God was always telling his people, never lose hope, never lose hope, never give up, because I am with you. And this goes right along with one of the fresh words from the Lord we had in our prayer meeting a couple of days ago, where we talked a little bit about Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41, the place where Jesus says to his disciples, let's go across to the other side of the lake. Halfway across, the storm kicks up. The boat is being tossed around. Water's pouring into the boat. And Jesus is asleep on the cushion in the back, totally relaxed and at ease and totally aware still of the situation. But what this teaches us is that in the middle of the storm, we may think God has forgotten us, but in the middle of the storm, he's still right there. He's still with us. He's in the boat with us, carrying us across to the other side. But what happens? The disciples get all excited. They're fearful. They come unglued. And they say, Lord, don't you care that we're going to drown? Jesus stands up, rebukes the wind, calms the storm with his hand, and the sea calms down. And the point is this. Never lose hope, because Jesus is always with you, even in the storm. And sometimes we see his greatest work and his greatest miracles in the middle of the storms. And sometimes because of the storms. Because sometimes he sends the storm. Why? To grow us up. To get us to reach out to him. To get us to reach out our hands. To commit ourselves to the Lord more deeply, more personally, more profoundly. To get us to hold on to his hand and to learn that even in the midst of all these circumstances, he's right there with us and he's going to see us through to the other side. He never forsakes, he never forgets, and he never leaves us to our own devices.
Thank God.
Amen. He doesn't abandon us. And sometimes, again, we find his greatest comfort in the middle of the storm. in the middle of a time where we feel like we're in exile, where we feel like we're in the prison, where we feel like we have lost hope, that we're in some concentration camp with the evil barbed wire wrapped around us, where we think we're getting closed in and we feel claustrophobic because the world is closing in around us, tightening its grip. And the Lord says, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord, the everlasting God. God will speak to you. Jesus stood up and said, why are you afraid? Have you no faith? Well, at that moment, the disciples didn't have a whole lot of faith. They were watching the waves. They were watching the water pour in over the edges of the boat. They were watching that boat fill up, and they were looking at Jesus asleep on the cushion.
I thought he never sleeps.
Well, in his human form, he did, but he was there with them. But what did he say? He said, have you no faith? And again, at that moment, they didn't. Sometimes in the middle of our circumstances, if we were really honest with ourselves and with God, we would have to admit, Lord, I forgot about you. How many of us can identify with that? It should be a unanimous show of hands. But he's there. Jesus brought calm to the storm. For us, this means as his followers that we need to pursue a more deeply faithful relationship with Christ as we seek to do as he calls us to do. This means to seek his will and the deeper relationship even when the situation is hard, even when the situation is difficult. He's calling us and drawing us to a closer relationship with himself because he knows the journey is too much for us, that we can't handle it on our own, and that we need that deeper relationship with him. And again, sometimes it's in the storms or in the sense of our captivity, as Isaiah is talking about, that we see the Lord do his greatest work. And it seems like I'm repeating myself here, but we have to get this point because it is so easy for us to forget this point in the middle of the storms, is it not? Sometimes when things don't look so good, we wonder, God, are you punishing me? Do we ask that question? Do we ever ask that question, God, what did I do to deserve this? Don't ask that question. You don't have enough time for him to answer you. Because in our sinful condition, we've got this long list of things that God could say, well, wait a minute, if I leave you to your own devices, this is what you get. But I'm trying to show you something here. I'm trying to teach you that even in the middle of this circumstance, I'm still God, I'm still the Lord, and I will see you through. What we find out here is in verse 28. We're talking about the attributes of God, as it were. And Isaiah prophesies, have you not known? Have you not heard? This is a gentle rebuke, if you will. It's like the Lord, through Isaiah, is saying, hey guys, have you forgotten what God is like? Have you simply forgotten about God? Didn't you hear about all of the things that God has done for you? Or did you forget that? Then Isaiah goes on to tell us about God. And this is almost like simply repeating the words of the passage here. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. This verse, this little passage here, tells us a number of great things about God. First, he's everlasting. He's forever. He's always been here, and he's always going to be here. He's the creator of the earth. There's nothing on this earth that doesn't exist. There's nothing on this planet or any of the other planets that he didn't put there. Furthermore, the Lord doesn't get woozy or faint. It says, he does not faint or grow weary. That means he doesn't get kurakurasuru. That's a little addition here. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't get dizzy. He doesn't wear out. He doesn't faint. He doesn't have an energy lapse. His biorhythms don't sink. He's the eternal energizer bunny, if you will. You know that he keeps going and going and going and going. God doesn't get tired, and he doesn't get woozy, weary, can't deal with those people anymore. And we really need to be glad for that. Amen? And he really is a know-it-all. You ever met a know-it-all? Somebody who's really annoying because they think they know everything? Yeah, okay, stop pointing fingers at one another. They're really annoying people. And I remember in college, somebody thought of this phrase, those of you who think you know everything are really annoying to those of us who really do. A little pridefulness there from that person. I have never said that, for the record. But in this case, God really is a know-it-all because he does know everything. His understanding is unsearchable. You know what that means? It means that we can't look long enough or far enough or go far enough to find something he doesn't know or understand. He can't be questioned because, although we do question him a lot, his understanding is never ending. He knows everything. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about all of us. He knows everything about every last iota of ground on all of the planets and star systems that he's created. He knows everything about it all. Now, folks, that should give us a lot of comfort. Why? Why should that give us comfort? Right, that's one. We don't have to know everything because we can put our lives in the hands of somebody who does. But also we know that there's no question we can ask. There's no burden we can bring to him. There's no situation we can mention to him that he is not already more aware of than we are. And there is no question we can pose that he doesn't know the answer to. And that means we can be comforted by his presence because we know we're in the presence and we're in the hands and we're in the care of somebody who literally does know everything about us, past, present, future, and through to eternity. And we can trust him with it all. Amen? Amen. Serve him and he does this. This is verse 29. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Here's the good part. If we lack power, if we lack strength, which we do, and when we get tired, he gives us the strength we need. This is like his beckoning and call. He's saying to us, what you need to serve me, I will give you. What you're lacking in your ability to follow me, I have an abundance and I will supply it to you. Whatever you are missing, whatever you do not have, whatever you're lacking, whatever gift you need, whatever amount of energy you need to continue to press on, to carry on, to walk forward in the life walking with me, committing yourself fully to me and being fully dedicated to me, whatever you need, I have for you. And I will give it to you. To him who lacks strength, he gives power. Come to me, and I will restore you, he's saying. Come to me, and I will equip you. You don't need to walk with a sense of failure or inadequacy. I have what you need. Stop doubting and commit your life to me, he says. That's what he's saying here. He gives us power. And to those who need more, he gives strength. But verse 30 gives us a little lesson in what happens when we try to do all of these things and live this life on our own without his help. What does verse 30 say? Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. These two lines should be a warning to young people, to the self-reliant, to the baby Christian, or to the spiritually immature. When we try to launch out and live our lives on our own strength and with our own ingenuity and cleverness, or when we try to serve the Lord on our own strength, we will meet with this result. When we try to do this on our own, we will get weary. We will get tired. We will feel burnout. When we try to do it all on our own strength, Stay connected to the Lord. When we run up against trouble or when we have a crisis, don't run away from the church. Run to the church. The best lesson for this is in Acts chapter 4. After the Sanhedrin had threatened Peter and John and said, don't you do this anymore. Don't speak anymore in the name of the Lord or we're going to punish you. What did Peter and John do immediately following the stern warning from the Sanhedrin? The first thing they did was they went back to the church. They told them what had happened. And what did the church do? They all raised their voices together and prayed out loud together because of that situation. When things look like they're falling apart, don't say, I have to handle this on my own. I have to work this out by myself. Don't do that. First of all, that's stupid. If you really want to get down to the bottom of it, when you try to handle your own spiritual crises on your own, by yourself, staying in your house, locking the door and saying, I have to work through this by myself. You have just fooled yourself. First, you've succumbed to a lie of the devil. And three, you've deprived yourself of the resource that God has provided for you with this church to walk through the problem with you. Because we can't do it on our own. There's not a one of us in this room, not one, who has the ability or the strength on our own to get through all of life's crises by ourselves. Don't succumb and give in to that lie of the devil of being a self-made man. I remember a story from one of my favorite preachers on the radio. There was this soldier one day who came up to Winston Churchill and he said to Winston Churchill, I am a self-made man. And Winston Churchill looked at him and said, son, you have just relieved God of an incredible responsibility. Don't try to do it on yourself and don't fool yourself into believing you're a self-made man or you can handle it all on your own. That's dumb. D-U-M-M-M-M-M-M. You can't do it on your own. Now,
don't beat yourself up.
And don't beat yourself up either, thanks. That's the surest way to disaster. When you hit a crisis, run to the church. Go to the prayer meeting. Allow the laying on of hands. Allow people to minister to you, to encourage you, to walk with you. Don't think, I can't burden anyone else with my problems. But Paul tells us in his letters, that's what the church is for, is to have a place to go with your problems and to get people to come alongside and to walk with you. If you try to do it on your own, you're going to end up like those people in verse 30. You're going to faint and be weary. That means to collapse and give up. And that means to have burnout and exhaustion. That's exactly what that means. Now for the blessings. For those who come to Christ humbly and pour out their hearts to Him, and for those who stay connected to Jesus by taking advantage of the blessing of a church, here are the blessings. Verse 31. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God will renew our strength. We will be able to soar to new heights in our relationship with Christ. We will run the race that Paul describes in 2 Timothy and in other places. We will walk out our life of faith with His strength. We'll stay connected and we'll know the blessings of the Lord's power. This raises the question of what it means to wait for the Lord. It means we don't go off and try to do something for Him halfway. We don't get a wild idea and dash off on our own to start doing it under our own strength. What waiting on the Lord does mean is to seek Him. It means to seek to hear His voice. We seek to hear what He wants us to do, and we seek confirmation of that word through those means He's given to us. And this covers our final point in today's outline. This is active waiting. This is one of the last two questions today. We continue doing the last thing He told us to do while we actively pursue Him, His heart, and His direction. We do this through prayer, through fasting, through the church, meaning through worship and the prayer meetings. We put aside our own hesitations, likes, dislikes, and we put our lives into His hands through the gifts He's given to us. Again, it's the Word of God, it's prayer, the witness of the Spirit, and through the church, by worship, the Eucharist, prayer meetings, wise counsel of God-fearing people, and fasting. Fasting is a gift to the church. And by the way, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, when you fast, not if you fast. Because He's trying to tell us, fasting is a gift whereby He can communicate with us, where we are more yielded to Him, where we commit ourselves to Him more deeply, where we commit ourselves to walk with Him more closely. And it's through these gifts that He's given, the church, prayer, Bible reading, prayer meetings, fasting, prayer, and the witness of the Spirit, where we gain our strength and renew our strength and our energy and our vitality and our capacity to gain understanding of what He says to us when He speaks. Did everybody get all that? So don't forsake the gifts of the church. Because if you want to renew your strength, if you want to mount up with wings like eagles, if you want to run and not be weary, if you want to walk and not faint, get closer to the Lord. Wait on Him with that active waiting, again, which is prayer, Bible study, worship with your fellow believers in the church, the prayer meetings, fasting, and these other things. That's active waiting. It doesn't mean you sit there passively saying, okay, God, and you say, well, I'm going to let God tell me. But what are you doing? I'm just waiting on the Lord. And that's all they can say. But guess what? They're going to be disappointed. Because they need to participate in those gifts that God has given that provide that insight that we need, which is, again, I'll repeat these one more time, prayer, Bible study, corporate worship with the Eucharist, with the sermon, with the prayers and the songs, devotions, prayer and fasting, and the witness of the Spirit, and the counsel of godly people. He renews our strength, empowering us to soar in our faith and grow into something beautiful. We have new strength, new energy, new vitality, and new focus. As we started out today, we have hope. We can know that He's right there with us in the middle of the storm. He's there with us when the enemy tries to make us feel lonely, helpless, and hopeless. We have hope. We have faith. He fills us with His Spirit, and we don't have to lose sight of our Lord. We can know that He's right there with us, bringing us through to the other side with strength, with power, and with hope. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray and we give You thanks. We thank You for the gifts that You have given, which is through the church, to allow us the grace to be able to seek You, to gain new strength, where we don't have to lose hope, where we don't have to lose our strength. Lord, give us ears to hear, because You say, have you not seen? Have you not heard? Give us the will and the power to listen, and then to act under the power of Your Holy Spirit. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. And amen.
And there you have it, folks. That's the end of this week's episode. If you want to listen to more of our other episodes, you can do so by going to ctknorthshore.tumblr.com. That's the main website for now. You can go ahead and watch our sermon in video mode if you'd like. We have our YouTube page as well as our Facebook and Twitter page. And until then, we'll see you guys next week.